Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how are we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and boy, oh boy, do we have some things to talk about. You talk about a trade deadline, fellas. Holy moly, there's fireworks going off left and right. And
Rockets get Anthony Davis.
Rockets have made big moves today and last night, and
Anthony
maybe
Davis.
More to come.
I'm just trying to get people worked up. That's not true. Settle down.
59 minutes left. And there are moves being made all across. This may be the most active trade deadline that the league has ever seen. It's craziness out
there.
It's
an exciting time.
It really is. I love it. And I'll be honest with you. Like, when I was with the Rockets, we wouldn't, like, go down on the third floor where all the basketball ops guys were. But we were refreshing our computers, like, every minute. And what our TVs were all on, and we were hoping. We were always hoping there were big moves to be made and things to get done. And Daryl lives up to billing. There has never been a trade deadline when Daryl hasn't made at least one move, and he's made several that we'll get to during the course of the show. But it was crazy.
It's funny. So I woke last night. I went to open mic at the Joe Joint, right, and ended up picking up some work for the weekend. So I'll be featuring there this weekend for Rob Little, who's funny. While I was there, there's a new show going on there from Chingo Bling. You guys know who Chingo Bling is, right? Houston rapper who now does comedy. We played some of the cuts from John Stringer, who was on Chingo Bling's Netflix special. Ended up hopping on his show and chopping it up with him for a bit. So he does comedy. So he might join us next Friday on the show. Come in studio for a minute and talk comedy and whatnot. Then I go home and I see the trade and all the other stuff that's going on. And you're right. I was like, I don't know if I remember it being like this before.
It's never been this active with this many meaningful big names going places.
And from the time that I went to bed, and I stayed up till probably, 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And then I just get here and I looked a little bit this morning, but I was looking for stories to talk about, not necessarily all the trades.
Right.
Dude, I pull up a trade tracker and I'm like, oh, it's even hotter now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's just been going nuts. And Trey's down the hallway going, so-and-so just got moved.
Oh, my God.
And there's another move on the hot stove with Woj.
Can I just tell you, I literally walk through the door. I still have my bag on my shoulder. And he starts telling me, this guy got traded. I'm like, Trey, give me 5 seconds to get to work before you start bombarding me with talking.
I started calling him Woj because he's down the hallway. And if you've ever been in this station, you realize that we call it the bullpen. It's the open area where the interns, everybody hang out. But you can hear Trey down the hallway both ways. Then he was giving out trades and he goes, well, it's a three-team race in the East now, and that's who it's coming down to. 5 minutes later, it's a four-team race in the East now because they made a move too. It's getting crazy. I don't know who to think. What's going to be next? I'm like, well, I know one thing. I won't have to use Twitter because I'll hear it from Trey.
I will say this, to give him a plug and the Blitz a plug. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, while the Blitz was on, I was hanging out here getting ready to go to open mic. And there's something brewing that they worked on with Trey that's going to air today that you guys do not want to miss. I've already heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, my God. This rivals Monday Movie Moments with Trey as the best thing he's ever done. Actually, when I talked to him about it, because he had done it already, and we were talking about all the different things he'd done, and Trey feels like reading from Beth's sex book was the best thing he's done.
Really?
Yeah, which surprised me. I figured Monday Movie Moments would have been pretty high up there, but he was fond of the sex book reading. But this what he's done rivals all of that. It's amazing. So make sure you stay tuned after we go off the air for the Blitz. You do not want to miss this. It's amazing.
There you go. Yeah. Just stay tuned all day. I mean, just rip the knob off.
Exactly.
Just leave it right where it's at. So did y'all, I mean, do anything last night? Any excitement?
I mean, I did some comedy
That's
stuff.
That's right, you did, yeah.
Yeah, and then got home and tried to catch the end of the Rockets game. I missed it. I ended up watching the Houston Sports Awards rerun.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Apparently, Granada was.
I'm driving. So I
throwing me in the grease this morning.
Yeah, not really throwing you, but again, kind of bringing it up one more time. Picking the scab off an old wound one more time.
Well,
so I had a crazy thing. So the dog with the ACL had to be in at 7 a.m. this morning. So that sets my morning afire because I got to have Taylor up at 6. I got to have her with me, drop the dog off, sit through that whole meeting to drop. The dog's going to be there all day just doing tests to make sure the knee's okay. Then get Taylor to school. Then get home. My mother-in-law's coming in tonight. So it's like Lisa's in a mad terror about the house being clean. So I got all this stuff going on, and I got the radio on. So I'm going from the vet to school, and Granado is doing what he normally does. He's a soup ladle. He just stirs it up, and they're talking about the sports awards. And he's like, I mean, you know, it was such a great night last night. I mean, it was a great night. And Patty Smith did a great job. I mean, and the people that they honored, and everybody was and Barry Laminack said that, you know, that they could have gotten different choices for whatever award. But, I mean, Jackie Burke's 94. I mean, who doesn't want to hear from Jackie Burke? He's 94 years old. But, I mean, he was talking for like an hour and wore out. And I'm like, so why you got to bring Barry up again? I mean, he's right. Because then he referenced the people that we talked about that you wrote about, like Carl Lewis and others, that if you're going to have the second class and your first class going in is Biggio and Bagwell, Earl Campbell and Elijah Wan and Nolan Ryan, the 34s, your second class should probably be...
Well, their second class was decades. And I said, you know what? You could do like non-big three sports like A.J. Foyt and add Jackie Burke for the golf. That's fine. My big beef was with Pastorini getting it. Mm-hmm. And their theme was decades, right? So it was the Love You Blue decade, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or whatever it was. And that's fine, but that Love You Blue, and they were like, well, you know, Dan Pastorini was voted on. Okay, but that doesn't make him worthy from a standpoint of the Love You Blue era. You couldn't have put in Bum.
We said Warren Moon.
I know Bum's not here, but Wade was there last night. Yep. I saw him on camera.
Yep.
He could have accepted the award on his father's behalf. Like, you know, there was a ton of choices. Mike Munchak, I mean, Elvin Bethea. There's tons of choices that you could have got from the Love You Blue era.
But I said, like...
I'm not hating on Pastorini.
No,
don't get me wrong. People twisted it like I was a Pastorini hater. Yeah. That's absolutely not true. I'm just saying there were, I think, better options
if that's the
route you went.
One day on the show, too, we said, look, if you're going to say who were the greatest Oilers of all time, and Earl leads the list, but... Number two, whether you go Warren Moon or you go with, you know, the guys.
Well, Warren Moon wasn't Love You Blue era, but so I get that.
I just said greatest Oilers of all time.
But again, you could have just went Carl Lewis, A.J. Foyt, Jackie Burke, George Foreman. And there would have been your four for this class from the big non-big three sports area. I don't know. And you know what? If Granada wants to throw me in the grease, that's fine. I stand behind what I said. I stand behind the article. I stand behind what I said, and I'm not going to change my mind. I watched some of it last night. I thought Jackie Burke did great. He was funny, even though he went for 4 hours. But I watched some of it. Some of it was awkward.
Like the Muppets, if Warren had the long cane that he could have gotten around Jackie Burke and yanked him off stage.
People tried to make it out as like I was hating on the Houston Sports Awards and the Hall of Fame and all that. That's just not true. I'm glad that thing exists. But you know what? When you do those things and you make those decisions, you open yourself up for criticism.
Sure.
Just like you would criticize any Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, you know?
And here's what I would have said, too, thinking about that. All the things that you said that we had talked about in the past and then thinking about what happened last night. The Astros are doing it right. If you're kind of behind the times and getting a Hall of Fame together after you've had a lot of people in your history, have that initial class or two. have more than just three or four so that you can kind of encompass a lot of people. So, you know, you can get, like, from other sports, like you're talking about, like the A.J. Foyts and the Jackie Burks, but you can also get Biggio and Bagwell and Warren Moon and Key Oilers and you know, and Key Rockets and go, you know what? We're off to a great start now.
Yeah.
That would have solved some things, too.
Well,
but, you know, John likes to do it. He's like he's like on the Food Network where he's just got to stir up the pot and then get the hell out of the way.
Trust me, it doesn't bother me in the least. I'm not upset. I stand by what I said.
Well, I am because he always throws me in the grease.
Well, you get tend to get a little more bent about that. Okay. Yeah. But I don't. I mean, it's I stand behind what I said. I'm not changing it.
And I did, too. I backed you.
Appreciate you.
All right, so we're just getting started. Again, plenty to get to. Lots of stuff. Barry's going to recap the Houston Sports Boards. That was on last night. But more importantly, we've got a trade deadline going on. Rockets got a win. Harden streak continues. Daryl's doing a lot to try and improve the team. And so are a lot of other general managers in this league. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line where you can call, you can text. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. And before we do head to our first break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing because we're expecting more rain. If you have a leak in your roof or you've just been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, now's the time to do it because if you do it and you go with Fitz Roofing, they are going to do a great job using the top quality CertainTeed shingles that are on the market and the best in the business. And they're going to do it with great customer service and they're going to take care of you before, during, and after the sale. It's just the way they go about things. We know that when the hurricane was here, there were storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers trying to get your money up front and then they were skipping town. Well, if you go with Fitz Roofing, you're going with a business that is deeply rooted in the Houston community. They're going to use those CertainTeed shingles. They're actually a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, which only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have the criteria to get that status. They have it. You need it. They got it. So you should need to call them because they have free, no obligation inspections. All you do, call 832-521-3001 or log on to fitzroofing.com. You can set up an inspection today. They'll come out, see what you got, tell you what you need to do, and then wait to hear from you to make it happen. It's just fantastic business with a locally owned and operated company. And if you want the backing, they've got it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. Five-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Just give them a call. 832-521-3001 or fitzroofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the big show. Just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. The trade deadline consuming the wire right now in terms of sports news up until 2 p.m. And just as a little precursor for all you NBAers fans, if a deal is being discussed and the league knows about it, they can go past 2 p.m. So there might even be some late ones that slip through the cracks, but at least unlike other years where you wait and you wait and
so you don't
suspense,
have to have the paperwork in?
As long as they're talking about it and the league knows that they're trying to make sure that all the numbers match and everything.
I'm guessing there's particulars you have to send the league.
I'm like, sure there's like a document.
Like if you're Daryl talking to, I don't know, just pick a team, the Pelicans, and you're like, hey, we are talking to the Pelicans and we're trying to figure it out, but these are the players involved. It's these five guys and these five guys. It'll be a combination of two to three on each side. But these are all the particulars. We just got to figure it out. That's good enough?
I think there. I'm sure you got to either fax something in or email something to say that we're discussing this, trying to finalize it. And as long as the league knows and there's, you know, if
well,
it's just down to the numbers.
What's the point of a deadline then?
But
because
it happens every year.
Week,
it happens
right?
Every year. The deadline passes and we're like, wow, that was uneventful. And all of a sudden they go, oh, there were two or three or four more deals that slid through because they were working on it at the time of the deadline. And they let the league know.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, with that being said, the Rockets made a move last night. Ironically, with the Sacramento Kings because they always seem to trade with the Kings. It's like Daryl says, can I make a fair deal with somebody or can I fleece the Kings? Well, let's just fleece the Kings again because they do seem to make a lot of moves with Vlade in Sacramento. And the Kings are getting better both in the front office and on the court. But they got a guy last night in terms of Iman Shumpert that I know they've been high on for a while, but he wasn't on their radar. He wasn't in a lot of the rumors that are being out there. I think he's better than any guy that they were looking at. And I thought it was a great get by Daryl.
I agree. I like it. I think it's good quality depth. He's never going to be a star. People are going to expect him to come in and be a superstar. I would say he's somewhere in the neighborhood of somewhere around Ariza Mbamute, kind of. Like, he's the poor man's version of maybe one of those guys. Probably more Ariza. In that,
for sure,
he can shoot the three a little bit. He's not great, but he can knock a three down. He'll play some defense, but he's going to do all of that off the bench. And so it's a quality add on in an area where we talked about all year where they're deficient. They've been bad, and Daryl's struggled, and I mean not struggled, but he's worked really hard at making the bench better by adding Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried, and now this. I think this is a three good gets.
I really like what he's done. And you guys know me. I'm going to be honest about Daryl.
Yep.
And I've known him forever. And I guess I'm not afraid to be critical. And some people hammer me for that. But I'm giving him all the credit in the world because you know what? He owned the fact that taking a team that did all the things they did last year, he kind of screwed it up. And he owned it. And he came out after a good period of time to say, it's on me. And I like what he's done to try and resurrect this season because you have James playing at such a high level, but you also realize that it's just one individual and this team is nowhere near or wasn't anywhere near where they were a year before. And of course, injuries with that as well. But you went out and you got an Austin Rivers and a Kenneth Faried off the scrap heap. And so what if you had to be a little lucky that they were there? You went out and got them. And they wanted to come here. Now you trade, and everybody's, oh, you gave a first-round pick. Who cares? When's the last time one of their first-round picks were relevant?
In the NBA, if you're not in the top five, it's not as big of a deal.
He may not participate in an NBA draft until 2025, and I don't care because he's getting players that can play.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win. Plus, they get out from under Knight's contract. They get closer to getting under that luxury tax. And then he's taken some of the players involved in that trade and flipped them. So, you know, he did the trade. He got Shumpert. He got Stauskas and Baldwin. And so he moved those guys to the Pacers, who the Pacers are probably going to waive both of them.
He had to throw in a second-round pick to get him to take that, to get him off the cap. Go ahead.
And yeah, and then the Rockets, what do they get for that? Future considerations. They don't care about that. They're trying to get as close to under that luxury tax as possible and still build a good roster. And somebody had even mentioned that one of the things that it also does is now they're kind of getting to a trade exception. They've created $1.6 million for a trade exception with the deal too. So maybe there's something else that we haven't seen yet. Maybe it's one of those deals you talk about that comes out after the trade deadline. But by dumping all that stuff, it lets you know Daryl's doing some things. He's working on something, whether it's signing somebody that gets bought out.
I was going to say, this is going to be similar to Verlander and that second trade deadline type deal. Everybody, for the most part, is done after 2 o'clock today. But Daryl's one of those guys because he's got a preferred destination, a playoff caliber team, and a roster that people want to play with that... Guys that get bought out. You want to see this flurry of all these trades, and we'll recap a lot of them, and there's still some going on.
I was
going to
say, while we're talking, Gasol is a Raptor now.
Yeah, that was a big move that we were going to get to at some point.
Right, yep. Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick to the Grizzlies for Gasol, but also Avery Bradley is a Grizzly now.
Yeah, and also Nikolai Mirotic from New Orleans is going to Milwaukee, and that's going to help them a bunch, too. The East is going to be a dogfight. It is going to be fun to watch.
Sixers picked up James Ennis from the Rockets.
And so the Rockets
get some depth.
Have made several moves following the Shumpert move. But my main thing in talking about Daryl is, while everybody else is almost done, it's almost like with Rockets fans, you can wait with anticipation. I started tweeting last night, all these guys that are going to get bought out, even if you get one or two of those guys, you're still going to improve your team vastly. You and I were talking about the worst bench in the league after having one of the best benches a year ago. In short order, when you look at it, if healthy, Eric Gordon, Austin Rivers, Kenneth Faried, all coming off your bench. Iman Shumpert coming off your bench. Gerald Green coming off your bench. Five guys that could start for a lot of teams in the NBA are on your second unit now when you start Capella and Tucker and Paul and Harden and whoever else you're going to start. That's well, how good he night, has right? flipped this roster.
Gordon started last night, but I think that, you know.
Right, but I'm saying because of injuries and otherwise. Even if Gordon still starts, your second unit is still pretty top notch.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done a good job. Daryl has. He's done a good job in righting the ship, so to speak.
So when you talk about it, Washington and New Orleans are complete fire sales. So before 2 o'clock, I anticipate one of two things happening. Jeff Green, who I've said always has been a guy that would fit with a cheap price tag for the Rockets. He's going to be out there. He's going to be available. And if he's not moved, he's probably going to be bought out. Trevor Ariza, the same thing, whether he wants to come back or not. But if you don't have to pay him $15 million, he's a guy that obviously his name always comes up when the Rockets have struggles that knows the system. But across the league, you're going to look at guys like Markieff Morris, who was moved from Washington to New Orleans. He might get bought out. And up and down the list. And they're going to want to look at Houston. So it's a good position to be in because Daryl doesn't have to worry about a trade deadline as the last-ditch effort to make this roster better.
Yeah, some of these teams that are doing these deals, like Indiana did with the Rockets to acquire a couple of guys, that they're probably just going to waive.
But that second-round pick's all they wanted just to add to their future.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying some of these teams are in a position where they're making moves to acquire people to buy them out or get rid of them.
Yeah,
and that's going to, like you said, to your point, that's going to open up some doors for Daryl and the Rockets to maybe do some things, which is why you see him getting rid of people like Ennis for a pick and the guys that he acquired and Stauskas and Baldwin for future consideration. It's not about that stuff.
And you heard Tillman was at the Sports Awards last night, and he made two very interesting comments, and one of them was, hey, as long as we're in it for the next couple of years, I don't mind being over the luxury tax. He prefers to not be, but if it's $10 million or less, he can handle it. But Daryl respects that enough to go, to your point, I'm moving these guys because we were close to 3.7 or less over the cap. If we move these guys and Ennis.
At one point, they were 15
in luxury tax. They could actually, they're as close as they've been to actually not having to pay a tax, which is huge.
Yep.
And yet you could still be in the market for some of these buyouts.
So you got quality depth and you made your owner happy. And
the other thing the owner said, though, too, was we had a deal with Memphis last Friday. And we always thought that there was an honorable agreement that was made and you live up to it.
Oh,
and
really?
It didn't happen.
Oh.
But you know what? If you're a Rockets fan, do you want Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple or Iman Shumpert and some of the guys he got?
Is that what the deal was?
They had been pursuing hotly Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple.
Really?
For the same package of Marquise Chris and Knight and maybe a pick.
Yeah.
I'll take Shumpert night and day over those guys.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
We can talk about that and a whole lot more. We're just getting started, so plenty to get to, but loving this time of the year. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday from the Gal Media Studios in the overcast and rainy.
Still crooked, but whatever.
Galleria area.
This weather sucks and it got cold.
It's not cold yet, but it sure is. There's a front coming in and it's going to be chilly up until about Sunday. And I say chilly, Nick, because I know you don't like the cold. It's going to be in the 40s.
I'm looking at my yard and I'm seeing all the weeds. I'm just like, oh, God, it's terrible.
My yard guy needs to show up. He's taking a few weeks off with the rain. I'm like, it's looking like it needs a little bit of grooming.
I had a bad like fungus get into the grass and it kills temporarily. It doesn't just like kill your grass permanently, but it weakens it. And so now where I have beautiful grass, it's all weeds. So I'm like, this sucks. I'm supposedly the yard guy on this show, and mine probably looks worse than y'all's.
Well, I'm doing a real good job watering my grass today, so.
Okay. Your home probably looks like homeless people live there because the yard is so bad.
It looks pretty bad.
How do you have homeless people at a home? I don't know, but it probably looks that way. That's the irony of it.
It's.
Have we given away all the trades? Have we?
There's another one.
What?
The Lakers are now trading Michael Beasley and Zubats, who everybody wanted as this up-and-coming big man from Europe, to the Clippers for Mike Muscala, who they had recently obtained in a deal with, what, Philly?
Yeah.
So Muscala's going to the Lakers, Beasley and Zubats going to the Clippers.
I just saw a headline there on the top of the screen. Mm-hmm. That Davis will not be traded
today. So there's that, too. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but on the jump yesterday, Rachel Nichols had our good friend Windy, because everyone knows it's Windy, mm-hmm. Brian Windhorse, and she proposed the whole idea that we've heard that New Orleans isn't responding to any of the calls and offers that Magic and the Lakers were making, and that they kept sweetening the pot, and why wasn't Dell Demps responding? Well, maybe Brian Windhorst knew something that we didn't, or I think it's kind of entertaining, but it went down a little something like this.
Do you think that the Pelicans set the Lakers up? Do you think that they were upset enough? I have no knowledge. I am just throwing out a question. That they were upset enough with what they had made clear they felt like was tampering, and they felt like that they were going in to reach in after their player and cause all this disruption in the middle of the season when they thought they had at least to this summertime. Do you think that they never intended to really engage with the Lakers that much, but kept putting out publicly all these trade offers so that we saw last night it would ruin their team chemistry, at least temporarily, disrupt all their young guys, make things miserable for this team? Is that possible?
It's not just possible. It's what happened. I don't know. I know that the Pelicans, you know. How do I want to put this?
Hey, man, you're on TV. Let's go now.
The Pelicans had a method to their madness in the way this went.
That was pretty good.
Did they know it was going to lead to a 40-point loss because everybody's upset? Not necessarily. But again, I want to go back to just be space.
Is this a Marion Barry set me up situation?
I just want to go base in reality. There is an information war going on right now. Okay, it's not even necessarily just about Anthony Davis. And by the way, it's not just the Pelicans and Lakers playing.
Oh, yeah.
There are other teams playing as well. I've never, in 16 years covering the NBA, I've never seen anything like this. It's fascinating, and it's not even about the trade. It's about everything that's going on around the trade.
Good insight,
and that's why there's not going to be
good
a
insight,
trade.
I love it. I absolutely love it, because small market teams needed some way of being able to at least stick it to and get back at some of the big market teams that are the ones that capitalize on these deals. If that's true, and I have no reason to not believe those guys, I love it.
If it's true, I'm totally on board with that. If you think that someone tampered with your player and caused some of this issue, absolutely, I'm fine with that. You know, it's eye for an eye. You screwed with us and messed things up. Guess what? You can do this. We can do the same. And do you give credit to Dell Demps for that? Because the last couple of weeks we've talked about, and you've mentioned several times, how even people
David
in the
Stern
league think that he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Is he? Because they might be like...
Whether he had help or that was him, but for whatever the reason...
To make it happen, you got to give him props if it's true.
Like we mentioned, how many times Daryl has fleeced the Kings. I would love the Kings. You know, from a Rockets fan's perspective, you love that because your team is winning out and taking advantage of some probably less than stellar components of their front office. If you were the Kings... There's not very few feelings worse than knowing you just got fleeced and there's nothing you can do about it and you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Your Sacramento fan base would love to get back at them.
Absolutely.
So I don't care who was behind it. If New Orleans truly was doing that for that reason, I love it. Because here's the other thing that we've mentioned on this show. Rich Paul, the agent for Anthony Davis, grew up and is one of the best friends of LeBron James. And that was the agency that LeBron James helped to create. So there's a little bit of an extra meaning in everything that they're doing, and it helps LeBron
yeah.
in the process. I love the fact that they thought they had all the cards in their favor and they get screwed.
Agree.
So.
Somebody had a text that I think was relevant to what we were talking about earlier with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. They said, do you think that the Rockets are actually clearing up all this money in this spot for Daniel House to come back?
I hope so.
That could be a distinct possibility that we didn't mention, so good on the texter. That mm-hmm. that very well could be the case.
What was the initial offer for Daniel? Was it like $3 million, 3 years?
The one that he turned down?
So, yeah, I've talked to some folks. So Daryl thought he got a steal when he brought Daniel House in, and obviously he played really, really, really well. But his agent was smart enough to realize in the process of coming in and playing for the Rockets, he started. He proved he could play in the league. And if he just played his cards right at the end of the year, whether he got an offer from the Rockets or not, someone was going to give him a multi-year deal and get him the kind of money that he deserved. And Daryl didn't like that because Daryl wanted to offer him the one-year minimum with no guarantees or a three-year offer with no guarantees just so he could lock him up and have control. And his agent refused it. So now he's out of days in his two-way contract and he's stuck in the D-League. And to some degree, a lot of people think Daryl's kind of irked by that yeah. to where it's kind of an ego thing. Daniel House makes this team better. You need to go get him. And if it means paying him for a couple years and you have a little less cap room, who cares? You have Chris Paul's contract on your and James Harden on the books and Clint Capella. You don't have wiggle room. Go get him.
Yep, I'm with you. And if you and maybe, but again, maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's freeing up all this because he realizes. You
I
know
hope
what?
So.
Him, adding him his depth. I still feel like they need a big wing player.
Like I don't disagree.
They need another. But first of all, they need rebounding help. And I know Capella's going to add some of that. But Capella, he can't play all 48 every game, especially in the playoffs. And he's going to be coming back from injury. I really feel like they need some help. And I know that it's out of the question if DeAndre Jordan gets bought out because you're not going to have a guy. You're not going to have to pay that guy.
He's free at the end of the year, though.
So
that's not a bad idea.
But he's not going to want to sit the bench either. He's not going to want to back up Clint Capella. But we can't run them both out there.
But we've seen that Ane can't stay healthy. And if you could rotate in and out between Capella and DeAndre, DeAndre can run the floor, okay?
Yeah.
I'll give you two other names. And you tell me, okay?
Are they wings?
One is Markieff Morris.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like a four that has a little beef to him.
Yeah.
So he can, because right now, Nick, you've pointed this out many times too. They don't have low post defenders right now with Capella out. When they play a team with a big center, they've gone nuts. Like the Joker in Denver the other night went crazy. And so they need a guy like that. And I'll give you another guy, not known as a big defender or, to your point, a rebounder, but a big body, but he could also really score on the low block. Enes Kanter's going to get bought out for nothing with the Knicks. He's a big body. He's a 7-footer. He runs the floor. He's a good offensive player. The Thunder used to put him on the floor just to score points. He could fit in and then realize his minutes are going to go way down with Capella, but again, expires at the end of the year. Happy to be here, and he would probably consider coming to the Rockets as well.
I would be good with those names. I don't care who it is. I just think if they're looking at House, that's great, and I wouldn't be upset if they were able to make a deal with him work. But if you're asking me what should they be targeting, I think they need to get Capella a legitimate backup that they can count on, and not an undersized Tucker or an undersized Fareed. I'm talking about
a bigger
athletic dude.
Yep.
You need some guy that's 6'10", that can run the floor, that can rebound. They need help in that area. But you know what? If they don't, I still, you know, if Nene can, you know, give you 5 to 7 minutes in the playoffs, you might be all right. You've got, you know, some undersized guys that... yeah, I know. I'm trying to make it sound better.
I'm
but
not
damn
holding
it,
out hope for anything Nene based.
No, but they need
But
help.
I agree with you because of the fact that we've seen this chip before, and also because going into yesterday, they were targeting and warranted a wing, a three, a 3-and-D guy that can really fill it, make threes, play defense, and get out on the wing. You've got a surplus now. That's why you saw them move out James Ennis. And do now yeah. you're right. Now the focus has to be we need a little bit more beef up front.
Yep.
We need a little help, and we need an insurance policy because when Clint comes back, we don't know he's going to be healthy the rest of the
year. You know what you need? You need Nene when you went and got him at that time. You need another version, a younger version of a Nene.
Or someone like it. You know, some guy that has some size and some weight that can just hold his own for, like you said, 7 to 10 to 15 minutes
just
a game.
Give Clint a spell. Yeah. That's it.
That'd be great.
Do you think they can give up? Because Nene has another year left on his contract. a situation where they say, hey, we'll give up Nene and pay half of his contract.
No, you know what they do, Nick? He retires at the end of the year, and they work out some deal as the liaison to pay him anyway.
Yeah, special assistant. To,
but he'll still get the remaining 3.6.
So he'll still get his money, and they'll get the cap flexibility.
You retire, we'll make you our, you know.
Community service, speaking, activist, kid guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because
we'll make you our strength and conditioning coach like they did.
Because I would have taken a Nene
assistant. You
know, 3 years ago. You know, if he could just be some sort of the shell that he was, it'd be okay. But he's not even.
Do you think he can, though? I mean, honestly, do you think he can?
Not anymore.
It's sad. So you're looking at it and you're like, well, damn. You know, what happened to Joe Chi? What happened to that experiment? I mean, what's the.
You weigh more than Joe Chi.
I know.
And then when he had the ankle issue, just.
Yeah.
It didn't look like that was going to go away.
But, yep.
They made him go away.
You need a guy somewhere between the height and body types of Fareed and Capella. There's a wing player in there somewhere that's between those two as far as tall and muscle that can rebound.
Yeah, I think the key is from a roster versatility standpoint, you got a big that can run. And you like you mentioned, with Fareed and others, you got 3-4 versatile guys that can run. But in the rare situation you come up against in a series against a center that's big, like Denver, and you need a big body to just put some beef on him, you need one more guy like that. And Hartenstein, you're right, Nick, might be the guy that's out so that you get a guy like that in. They wouldn't cut him, but they'd move him off to the G League and get it because that would make their roster even deeper. For versatility standpoint.
So. Yeah.
We'll continue to roll on. Still moves being made. Looks like Mike Conley's going to stay in Memphis after he didn't want to play in Utah. Imagine that. But there's plenty more going on. Deadline's at 2 o'clock, and we've got plenty more on our agenda. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we told you, a lot going on in the league, and it continues. Markelle Fultz is no longer a Sixer. He's going to Disney World.
It's crazy.
He's going to Orlando for ex-Coug Jonathan Simmons as the experiment in Philly is over. That's interesting. Lots more moves that are happening. We'll update you because there are plenty, as well as others that have happened in previous to this. But, man, if you're a basketball fan, this is a fun, fun time. And the NBA is finally living up to their deadline. This is good stuff.
Somebody said on the text line, did any team make themselves a serious contender to take down the Warriors in the playoffs? Or is this still the Warriors versus everyone?
I think teams in the East made themselves stronger contenders. But I don't know, because of all this stuff going on and because the Rockets were playing late last night, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, okay? But the Warriors made the Spurs look like the Cavaliers of this year.
Yeah.
The Warriors beat San Antonio by 40.
Yeah.
Everyone's playing for second in my mind unless they go through an injury right now, because normally this team flips a switch and tries to do this in the playoffs. But the fact that since they got Boogie Cousins, they've been on a different planet.
Yeah.
And they're doing all this with Kevin Durant acting all weird and some of the locker room issues that they've had, Draymond Green going at Kevin Durant. That's how talented they are. They could probably have some bigger locker room issues and still be the best team in this league. That's how good they are.
Are they good enough to lose one of their starting five and still win a championship?
Yep.
Could they lose Durant and still win a championship?
It's possible.
Could they lose Curry and still win a championship?
Yep. Although, believe it or not.
You can't lose both.
I'm just saying one of them. I'm just giving out names.
Right.
So you think they can lose Durant, still win a championship? Can they lose Curry, still win a championship?
Yeah. Yep. KD's still there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Draymond. You got five all-stars you're starting.
It's unreal.
Yeah. It's pretty sickening.
Yeah, it is. And the fact that everybody said, well, it's going to take some time, and they're going to go through their lumps, and trying to work Boogie into the mix is going to be tough. No, it ain't.
Not really.
Not right now.
They figured it out.
They're on a different level, and I hate saying that. I know you Rockets fans don't want to hear that. But look, there's a reason why we're seeing all this activity. Philly felt like they were the fourth best team in the East at best, and they just keep making moves to try and get better so that they have a shot.
This latest move, do you think that it helps them? Do you think it makes them better?
I think it helps both sides. I think Markelle Fultz just needed a change of scenery because there was just too much pressure and stress.
That's messed up.
And he was just really just on another planet mentally in terms of trying to figure it out. Yeah. Now he's on a bad team with no national coverage. Yeah. He gets a chance to just try and get right.
Throw up those robotic free throws with nobody looking.
Yeah, and the guy that they get is a guy that's played for the Spurs in the playoffs and put up numbers enough to get a good contract. He can help them. I think Philly's helped themselves. I think the interesting thing from my standpoint is from Boston. No, they couldn't go out and get Anthony Davis, which they wanted. But if they wanted to, they had other pieces that they could tinker with to get better players. You know with Boston, it's not about how talented their roster is. It's what we were just talking about with the Warriors on the flip side. Can they just learn how to play together? They got enough talent. And I think they have enough talent to play with the Warriors, but they're just so mentally the worst thing that this is a weird statement, all right? But the worst thing that could have happened to the Celtics was last year's deep run through the Eastern Conference without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Because you took guys that otherwise would just be rotational guys, happy with their minutes, and you made stars out of them. Jason Tatum became a star quicker. Jaylen Brown became a very if not a star, a really really good player quicker. Rozier all of a sudden was a starting point guard in this league that people wanted and thought was good. And now they all have to take a back seat because Hayward, you have to play because regardless of the injury, because of the contract, and because Kyrie is so ball dominant, it's tough. It set Boston back.
So back to the question.
Yep.
Did one team make themselves better and a serious contender for the against the Warriors? Or is it Warriors versus everyone?
I still think it's Warriors versus everyone.
I would agree with that. They still made themselves better, but it's still the Warriors against everybody.
I still feel like Philly is going to give the Warriors fits.
That would be great if they make it because to the finals.
Here's the thing.
In the Eastern Conference.
I mean, you've got a lot of similarities between the two teams, too. And I think Philly can give them some matchup problems. Well, Joel Embiid is a matchup problem for everybody. Yep. Joel Embiid can you've got, because the fact that he has developed a 3-point shot and he can play with his back to the basket and doesn't mind it,
and he's a rebounder,
and a shot blocker, and a run the court.
But good thing is the Warriors don't have anybody like that. They got Boogie Cousins who can face the basket and make threes.
But
he's coming off an Achilles, so he can't run like Embiid. But you got a guy. I think the bigger thing is Philly because Simmons can't shoot. And a couple of the guys have a little bit of trouble shooting. I think the one thing that they did that really helps them is, aside from J.J. Redick, they added some shooters.
Yep. They added some scoring.
Yeah. And I don't know if running the offense through Ben Simmons, because he likes to kind of play point. I guess he's like a point forward or whatever. I don't know if that's the best approach for the Sixers. They might need to find somebody that can run the point and they play and let Simmons play off the ball. I mean, he's a guy that's going to...
He's so good.
He's going to penetrate to the basket anyway.
He's the guy that has the knock that the Greek Freak had a couple years ago. If he could just develop a shot, boy, who could stop him?
Yeah.
And then Ben Giannis Simmons started developing a shot. It can happen. I've mentioned Gary Payton, Jason Kidd, two guys that came into the league without a jump shot. It can happen, but Simmons is so good with assists and handling the ball. The biggest thing with Simmons is, can he make free throws in crunch time?
Well, I mean, look at Joel Embiid, who developed his 3-point shot. He didn't have that.
Right.
He was working on it, but he's now legit. Like, if you can't leave that dude open, he'll knock it down. So I find it interesting with Tobias Harris being added, and you've got Jimmy Butler, and they get rid of Markelle Fultz, so you don't have to worry about that now. And they you know, maybe upgrade a little bit by trading him and what they got for him. And I like them. Now, don't sleep on the Raptors either, because they just added Marc Gasol.
True. And I'll give you another
one. They got better.
Okay, I'm going to say it, and everybody's going to call me a homer.
Homer.
But that Mirotić trade for Milwaukee, you basically turned Thon Maker into Nikolai Mirotić, who knocks down the three, plays D, a big body, can complement with the Greek Freak and what they already have. Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly is going to be real fun to watch come playoff time.
You got the Greek Freak some help.
Yeah.
You got him some legitimate help, and that's going to be interesting,
and
too.
And I just said Milwaukee, the Toronto, Bucks coming out of the Philly, East, Joel, and did not say Boston.
Right.
Those four teams are going to be fun to watch. I'm not saying they're coming out of the East, but they're coming. They're going to be there. They're going to be there.
So, okay. Well, then on the flip side, we have to pick.
Okay.
Who you think comes out of the East and the West, if you think anybody's going to beat the Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that on the other side.
Perfect. There you go. Hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go. Hey, having fun with the NBA trade deadline show. It's about over, fellas. 3 minutes, the deadline puts an end to it, kind of. So we'll be back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.